Radio Kate, and I'm, goodness knows, about 30,000, maybe 40,000 feet above the Earth's surface. I'm on my plane going into Qatar for the World Conference of Science Journalists, and as is always the way, I like to talk to people I'm sitting next to, and it turns out the person I'm sitting next to, Colin, is pretty important when it comes to flying, especially if you like your food. Now, I've often travelled on planes with really disgusting food, but Colin, explain what your job is. I mean, you don't have to say who you work for in particular, but you are involved in the process of choosing what we eat on these planes, right?
Very much so. It's the food you get on board the aircraft is a very important part of your journey because it takes up a lot of the time. Now, with the logistics that are involved to get catering on board for up to 350 people, and please everybody what they're going to eat is very complex but very important. You've got the health and safety issues, and you've also got passenger satisfaction. Because there's so little space on board the aircraft, you have to design food that's going to be well accepted by a majority of your guests. Now, bearing in mind that with travel these days, you've got a multi-society people travelling, so you could end up with maybe up to at least 12 or 13 different nationalities on one aircraft. So that, linked with limited space, it's very important that you design a menu that is going to be appealing for everybody on board.
And I mean, the thing that usually gets me on plane food is the dessert. There's always some kind of nondescript thing, it's not quite a mousse, it's not quite a flan, it's not quite a cheesecake, it's just this thing. So I just assume that nobody's really thought about that. I guess I'm wrong.
No, you're pretty much right. that sort of dessert is very common on flight catering because it's very easy to reproduce, it's very cost effective, and it's a good vehicle to deliver some sort of flavour to enjoy at the end of your meal. But yes, you're right, it's nice to have a bit of diversity. For example, some of the menus that I've designed, what I try and do is to have over three menu cycles. We would have a pastry dessert, you would have a sponge dessert, and you would have this nondescript mousse dessert. But with regular flyers, we do tend to have menu fatigue. And with the menus that we design, we try and design out repetition, and we try and design out problems that for the crew. Because if you look at the it's a very difficult job for the crew to deliver a good standard of catering to 350 guests on board an aircraft. So if you make it too complex, it takes up a lot of time. The guest doesn't get a seamless sort of well-delivered product. You get a panic, it's thrown at you, and you won't enjoy it. So the designing of the meals is very important, and that's what I say. When I try and do the menus, we achieve variety, interest, which takes into account flavours, colours, textures, like this dessert that you're talking about. It's a very soft textured. But if you like things like on some of the menus that I've designed, we've done seared pineapple with a cinnamon syrup with caramelised orange and pistachio debris.
Now I wish I knew which airline you did work for, because I would probably fly with them. That sounds amazing. But I mean, I'm thinking of this, you know, I'm a passenger, I'm just one person, I come on a plane, I'm like, this is disgusting, what is this you put in front of me? I guess on the other end of the scale, where you're coming from, it's not the one passenger, it's... Well, how many people are you serving per day?
Some of the flight caterers that I've worked with recently, we're producing up to 45,000 meals a day. Now, bear in mind, if you get on an aircraft, you would have maybe 8 first-class passengers. Then in business class, you would have maybe 32. And then down the back, you've got 200 plus. Now, if you have 8 people that are satisfied with their service, they'll go and tell maybe 2 or 3 people of the good service they've had. Now, those people are normally well-travelled, So they don't normally go off the plane and say, oh, I had a really good flight, I enjoyed my meal, I enjoyed my service. So they, because they're expectant of it.
Well, they're the special ones, you know, they get proper cutlery, none of this plastic nonsense. They get proper real plates and a wine list. I've done it once, it was amazing. Unfortunately, I can't afford to do it all the time. So what about the rest of us?
Well, again, if you look at business class, 32 people go off the plane, and they'll go and tell me one or two people. But if you look at economy, you've got 200 people plus that if they leave the plane and they go out and tell two people each, you've got a bigger, larger exposure of people advertising your product. But yes, the difference in cabin classes and quality is you do get a lot. You get what you pay for. If you're paying £1,000, £2,000 for your business class seat, you expect award-winning wines, you expect bone china, you expect crystal glasses, you expect things to be exciting and service to be impeccable. But it's also important, if you imagine you've got an old couple that are retired, they've saved all their life, and they're going to go and visit their relatives from London to, say, Wellington or Sydney. They spend all their money, and they're very unassuming passengers. They don't have an expectation, but that journey to them is a life-changing experience for them. They're going to visit their long-lost relatives. So it's a very important part of people's journey. So to be able to offer a good quality product is not easy, but I think it's very important, especially for the price you're paying.
I mean, the airline business, in fact, well, all business at the moment is going through a bit of a difficult time, you know, the global economic crash. And I mean, I've been a regular flyer on Virgin, and, you know, only in economy, I might add. But the one thing that I would always eat was a small little slab of cheddar that they'd give me. And I turned up on the plane once, and I said, well, hang on, where's my cheese? And they said, well, cost cutting, we don't do the cheese anymore. Is this something that really affects the catering business?
Yes, very much so. If you can imagine, the airlines, they can't cut cost on fuel, they can't cut cost on staff, because you need a certain amount of crew to fly to make sure the passengers are safe on board the aircraft. They can't save cost on engineering. The first thing that goes is catering, because that's something that they can change. Now, I'll be pleased to announce that on your flight today, there is cheese, so you'll be able to enjoy your cheese.
I'm very happy with that. What would your ideal, if you could have anything you wanted, if you could produce an ideal meal for economy class, what would you put in?
I would say Malaysian or Indonesian food, because it's got a lot of flavour, it's very colourful, and when you're flying, you lose a third of your taste buds. So things that are heavily seasoned, things like chilies, peanut sauce, some people have allergies, but things like lemongrass, ginger, garlic, all these things stand out, and I think that makes it a lot more enjoyable when you eat. Now, with the development of aircraft travel, airline travel, a lot of people can afford to fly, so people, it's like Marks and Spencer's. Maybe 10 years ago, Marks and Spencer's were starting to put on their shelves ready-made meals from India, ready-made meals from Thailand, different cultures of food, because they realised that the British public were travelling more, and when they came back from their holiday, they wanted to try that food again. So Marks and Spencer's were making ready-made meals from Thailand, Indonesia, from India, and they made a great success out of it. But also, when you fly, you want something that you can taste. I'm very, very against foods that are very bland. I mean, if you look at British food, you got things like braised beef with boiled potatoes and cabbage and carrots. Well, there's very little flavour there. But if you look at Indonesian food or Indian food that's very highly spiced, that's ideally suited for in-flight catering and travel. Things that are wet, things that are like a stew or flavoured rices, they get regenerated really well. So, and when you eat it, you feel as if that you're full up and you've had a meal that is full of flavour. So,
it It's interesting you say that, because I have actually heard similar with the Astronaut Food Corps. They have to find things that have lots of seasoning, lots of flavouring, but obviously not too much salt in them, because they don't want the astronauts to be unhealthy. So there's something about being up high that means that you don't taste so well, which I think is scientifically proven. I will have to now check this out and provide some links, obviously. But anyway, thank you very much, and it looks like the trolley's coming along, so we're going to enjoy our food now. Fingers crossed it tastes of something. And if it doesn't, I'm blaming you.